Let's just plead with God. Lord, touch me specially this evening. Touch me, Lord, and let it show. I'd like you to pray that prayer so much. Father, touch me this evening and let it show. Let it show that you have touched me. Do something unique, something unusual in my life. Something I will never forget in my life. Give me a miracle this evening. Touch every part of me. I've not come for coming's sake. I've come for an encounter. I have come for an encounter. I've come for an experience. I want you to pray sincerely, Father, please touch me and let it show. Let me experience your anointing in a new dimension. In the name of Jesus, I want you to pray. Let me experience a fresh anointing, unusual anointing. Let your power come afresh upon my spirit. In the name of Jesus, do that which you alone can do. And in the end, let your name be glorified. I want you to pray, Lord, fire me up specially. Fire me up specially. By the time I will be leaving this meeting, Lord God of heaven and earth, let it be obvious that I've experienced your touch. Let it be glaring that you have done something unique in my life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for answered prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, Lord, we give you glory for yet another opportunity to appear before you this month, to look up unto you for fresh oil. We ask, eternal Father, that like never before, you will minister to us. In the mighty name of Jesus, that which you will do in our lives that will remain indelible, that we will never forget. Lord, we ask that you will let them happen in the name of Jesus. Let there be transformation. Let us experience your power in an awesome dimension. And in the end, your name, O Lord, will be glorified. Thank you, Father, for having answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me hear a resounding amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Church, you may be seated. Thank you. We give glory to God for another privilege to come together for this meeting. It's another month. And as we are gathered to trusting God for fresh oil and for the release of his anointing upon our lives, we will never go empty-handed in the name of Jesus Christ. You will go back home soaked in the pool of God's power and anointing. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. I want to thank God for Daddy for asking me to be here again. Thank you so very much, Daddy, for the privilege. And I appreciate the leadership of the church that have been working together with our Father and the Lord. I pray that the good Lord will continue to bless each one of us in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, say the Lord will bless me. If you cannot say amen to my prayer, you should be able to pray for yourself. Say, the Lord will bless me and it will show. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. All right, please, let's read a couple of scriptures. Let's start from Psalm 89. Psalm chapter 89. I was getting set in my heart that we're going to study Psalm 89 from verse 20 through 34. But it just occurred to me that we'll just take one verse from Psalm 89 and link it with a few other passages in the Bible and pray. If the Lord will and the Lord permit us, tomorrow or day after, we may continue in subsequent verses of Psalm 89. But today we're going to put our finger on verse number 20, Psalm 89. And verse 20. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. Now, while I was studying that scripture, and I read, at times when I'm reading the scriptures, I'm conscious of the punctuations, not just the words. And I saw that there is a full colon in front of that sentence. Instead of a full stop, it occurred to me that some things were about to be listed. And when I read down, I discovered that, yes, God said he found David in verse number 20. He anointed him with oil. And from verse 21, began to talk about the privileges of the anointing. So I'd wanted to talk about the privileges of the anointing, but that is not going to be for this evening. Now, we will just take that verse 20 and set it as a foundation, connect it with another passage, one passage in the Old Testament and another one in the New Testament. Then we will go to the Lord in prayer. How many of you are glad to be in the house? One more time, let me, wave your hands. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, obviously, God said he had found David his servant. You always find something you're looking for. I believe God was looking for someone who had the type of heart that David had, the kind of potentials, the kind of grace that David had. And of course, God eventually found him. When it comes to the issue of depositing the power of God upon men, God is not frivolous with it. God is not frivolous with it. He does it on purpose. He looks for the people upon whom he will pour his power, upon whom he will pour his anointing. And that was why he told us, I have found David. I was looking for a man upon whom I can deposit so much power, so much grace and anointing to turn his generation, to transform his generation, to be a blessing to everyone that will come in contact with him. And I found one in David. So God is strategic and very, very sensitive when it comes to the release of his anointing. He doesn't do it frivolously. No. He is very careful with it. As a matter of fact, if you study your scriptures very well, you will discover that three sets of people were anointed with oil in the Bible. How many set of people? Church, please talk to me. Three. Number one, the sick. Number two, the kings. Number three, the priests. The prophets come in the line of priesthood too. So look at the scriptures very well, especially in the Old Testament. So God is careful. He looks for a man and a woman very intently and closely before he endues and endows him with his power and anointing. So that was what God found in David. And it becomes very simple for us this evening, because I don't know of the third, but I know the first two, the kings and the priests, are here this evening. The book of Revelation chapter 5, verse number 10, Bible tells us that we will reign in life. As what? All right, let's read it. I like to ask questions when I'm preaching. I want to know you are falling. Revelation chapter 5, number 10, and we're going to also read Revelation chapter 1, verse number 6. Revelation 5:10. All right, and has made unto us, everyone, God, kings, and what? And priests. And we shall reign. Where shall we reign? On the earth. God has made unto us, God, kings, has made unto us a God, kings, and priests. We shall reign on the earth. What do we have in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6? It's a similar thing that we have in Revelation 1 and verse number 6. All right, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Someone say amen. All right, so that's who we are. As far as God is concerned, we are kings and we are priests. As a king, we rule and reign. As a priest, we serve. As a king, we reign. And as a priest, we serve. What singles out a king is dignity. What singles out a priest is sanctity. The sanctity of a priest and the dignity of a king. Those are the things that single out believers. All right? So, you are qualified to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit as long as you find yourself in the category of a king and a priest. And like I said, we are kings and priests on earth. As a king, what do we do as a king? I want to know if you're following. What do we do as a king? We reign. What do we do as a priest? We serve. So that explains why you need the anointing and the power of God. You need the anointing and the power of God to rule and reign on earth. And no man shall be able to stop you. All right? Because we're living in the midst of wicked people. Jesus Christ told the disciples, he said, I send you like a lamb. You go into the middle of wolves, scorpions, and serpents. So that means to say, for a man to reign and to rule, he needs the anointing of the Holy Spirit. For a man to serve as a priest, he needs the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And if there is a sickness in any part of your body system, within the 3 days, you would not find them there again. Because the anointing of the Holy Spirit will cause them to disappear in a hurry. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, that's just to lay the foundations. God looks out carefully before he pours his anointing and his power. Plenty of people receive oil. Very few receive the anointing. Oil is cheap. It could be bought in the market. But when it comes to the anointing, God is careful and strategic. He wants to find out, is he a king? Is he a priest? Now, having established that in the scripture, I want us to go back to the book of Exodus. Let's go to Exodus and study a passage that we're going to use to pray this evening. Exodus chapter 30. Exodus 30. There and then, we are going to study the blessedness of the anointing. The blessedness of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I have established a point that fresh oil, anointing of the Holy Spirit, is not for everyone. It's only for those who are destined to reign in life as kings and as priests. And I believe you are qualified for the office. Now, Exodus chapter 30, we're going to read from verse number 22. Please, let's take our time to read about 3 verses in that passage and establish it. The use of anointing oil was not Moses' idea. It was God's idea. It was God who commanded Moses to get the oil. And at the same time, it was God who told Moses 5 principal ingredients that must be in the anointing oil. Before it could be called an anointing oil effectively consecrated, God told Moses there are 5 components that must be there. Each of the components seems to have very sensitive spiritual significance. And that is what I'm talking about and we are praying with today. How many of us desire fresh oil? No, please put down your hands. I don't want you to impress me. I want you to be sincere about it. How many of us desire the fresh oil of the Holy Spirit? All right? Because you know one thing. Anointing is better experienced than explained. Anointing is what? Is better experienced than explained. If you guys not taken by the time you begin to explain the functions and the privileges of the anointing, some people say, is it that serious? But you see, for those who will experience it, they know what we're talking about. And this evening, from now, fresh oil of the Holy Spirit will come upon your lives. What kills a man faster? One of the things that kills a Christian, a man faster, is sense of arrival. What did I call it? So, because some of us have been manifesting some small level, ankuni anointing, we couldn't say amen. I said fresh grace, fresh oil will come upon your life today. Amen. So, don't tell me we have enough anointing. That sense of arrival, it kills. You must desire an increase. You must desire a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to be released upon you today. You must desire it. Now look at Exodus 30 from verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels. God was so detailed. He mentioned the ingredients and he mentioned the measurements. And told Moses, that is the first thing, first component of the oil you're going to use to anoint people. When I sat down with my Bible dictionary, I began to check what each of these words meant. And the word myrrh was described as something that is extracted from a plant, which has a very strong fragrance. So what makes myrrh a myrrh is the fragrance. Now, inside every rich perfume, there is a good mayor of myrrh. What purpose is it meant to serve? Now, please don't forget where we're going. We're talking about the blessedness of the anointing. I will talk about four or five of them from this passage. What purpose is myrrh meant to serve? It is meant to produce fragrance. That goes to say, if I wear an expensive perfume and I visit you in your office, I spend only 10 minutes and I leave that place to go to another place. If anyone comes in there, he will not meet me on seat, but will perceive the smell of my perfume. Am I right? I want to be sure I'm right. Am I right? Those of us who wear perfume, am I right? And you know, in developed countries, they use perfume to trace people. Am I also right? Right. Now, that the essence of the myrrh in the anointing oil is to produce fragrance. And fragrance helps us to discover the trace or impact or presence of a person even after he has left the place. Now, let me bring it home so you can understand. If you are genuinely and truly anointed, it's not going to start from speaking in tongues, okay? It's going to start from leaving a positive impact everywhere you pass through. If you spend 3 years in this church, for instance, and after 3 years, nothing is remembered about you, my friend, you were not originally and correctly anointed. Every anointed person leaves a positive trace, a positive impact wherever you pass through. You just receive anointing in the church. The functionality of the anointing is not conditioned to the four walls of the church. Right in your office. Oh my God. Right in your office. An anointed person does not please the pastor by attending all services. No. He makes his pastor happy by the impact he's creating in his office, in his department, in his shop, in the place where he lives, so much that the pastor is hearing the news of his exploit and is happy to say, "He's my member." How many of you believe in what I've just said? Yes. Those are church members that God is raising in the end time. The man who will receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, everybody look at this mandate and read it loud and clear. To be change agent, yes? Where will they receive the anointing? Talk to me, church. Where would they receive the anointing? One trouble with me is that I am not a gentle preacher. Where would they receive the anointing? For these 3 days, endure my trouble. They will soon take me away from your face. But this one, endure me. Where would they receive the anointing? Someone shout it. Where would they receive the anointing? In the church. But look at it. Continue. Where would they make impact? My God. Where would they make impact? I like this like nothing more. That's just it. That's set to set. This is the summary of all the messages we'll be preaching the next 2-3 days. You receive the anointing from the church. Make impact in the world. Church members who attend all services are good. Very good guys. Very good women. But church impact. Church members who make definite impact wherever they live and work are better. Because the church is a manufacturing ground for end-time generals to send them out wherever. You have, as a medical doctor who is a consultant, you have more members than a senior pastor who pastor a congregation of 500. Am I right? All right? Because different kinds of people come before your table. If you are truly anointed, meeting you must leave an impact on their lives. I've not come to this evening to say whatever you see to we want to hear. It's whatever you need to hear.
When you receive correct anointing, if it is correct holy oil that the Bible talks about, fresh oil that you really desire, it must help you wherever you pass through. You must leave stresses impact. Some people appeared in our ministry life. They graduated 10, 15, 20 years ago. I must be sincere, we are still talking about them, Daddy. We no longer know where they live. Some of them, we don't have their contacts, but the impact could not be deleted because they were truly anointed. Every church is a combination of two people. The holiest church on earth is a combination of caterpillars and pillars. The pillars are anointed to build, anointed to hold together. If there is a unit, if they are in a particular unit, leave the church, leave the pastor out of distress, they will organize it. They will organize it. They will just bring report. Truly anointed. People will begin to go to them in their offices as if they are pastors. When they are, hey, Jomi Maki, the pastor, oh my, just said that man, me and mama saw me, the pastor, son gone. But when they come to you, they find solution. You counsel, you preach, you don't need handbill and flyers for them to follow you to a meeting in your church because you are making impact. It is a useless anointing that shouts without impact. No. Unfortunately, some women can make impact on their children. A particular sister says, he's truly anointed, and God says, he's going to have a global impact, that God has raised me to impact my world, but you cannot impact your roommate. You have to question that kind of anointing. When a man is truly anointed, the families you belong and pass through will feel the impact. Your husband will feel it. Your wife will feel it. Your children will feel it. Your neighbors will feel it. All right? Your contemporaries at work will feel it. Your colleagues will feel it. If you're in the police, they will feel it. We have friends in the police. We have friends in the military. Honestly, they are still carrying guns just for carrying sake. The real mission they are there is to impact and affect lives, and they are doing it. We need more marketplace stewards than full-time pastors. Quote me anywhere. We need more marketplace stewards. That is to say, children of God who are in different professions, in journalism, in lecturing, in academics, in military, in business, in politics, and they will be affecting lives. The toga of a pastor is beginning to limit our impact. For instance, this is Daddy, he's a professor and a vice chancellor. This is Mr. and Evangelist Niyi Adebayo. Fine. And the two of us now go to governor's office. And they say, God, Your Excellency, sir, you have two guests waiting. And possibly you don't know the two of them, and there is no prior appointment. I say, okay. I will only be able to see one of them. Who are they? They say, Professor so-and-so, the first chancellor of so-and-so university. The second person, Evangelist Pastor Niyi Adebayo. I say, oh, that one. Maybe he has come to pray for us. Eba mi attend si wan. Kwa gba duwa fun gbogbo wa. Aduwa tigba na. Tama loke fun wan. Lenvilo 50,000 naira. Bring the first chancellor. Bring in the first chancellor. Listen to me. Do you think I am right? Ah, eso toro. Into rikwe eti mori riri e. We have been saying it. Your job is a platform. Is what? It's a platform. If a candle will produce light, that's why where Jesus mentioned candle, he mentioned candlestick. Something must lift the candle. You put the candle on top of something. Your job is a platform for your light to shine. That is the generation of end time stewards God is busy raising. He will throw us into different places. If Nigeria must be healed, you must receive this anointing. Anointing to make impact on the lives of people. And you come here to give testimony. May that anointing come upon your lives. Somebody's not saying amen. May it come upon your life. Everywhere you pass through, you will leave definite positive impact on the lives of men in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, I receive it. Oh my God. Somebody say, I receive it. Yes. When a man is truly anointed, his path are dotted with impact.
In the church, a lot of impact. A lot of impact. He does not just sit down as a bench warmer. Things are happening through him or her. He's making impact. When some people are no longer in church for 3 years, you hardly can know. When some people are absent from church for 2 weeks, you start looking for them. It's not all about names. It's about impact. Now, that's one thing you're going to see in the life of a man who carries correct oil. I pray that your passage in your family will leave tremendous positive impact in the mighty name of Jesus. If there is a generational siege and yoke, which no one has been able to break, by reason of the oil of grace that is coming afresh upon your life, God will use you to break it. If there is a barrier that no one has been able to cross, a limitation no man has been able to pass, the oil of grace will come upon your life today and you'll be able to break the barrier in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, I receive it in the name of Jesus. Now, let's read further. That same verse, don't forget, anointing, correct anointing helps a man to make definite impact, positive impact. Those who walk with you will have testimonies to always give. The units, the department, the houses, the offices you pass through, you will leave positive impact because of the anointing you carry. Number two, he said, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels. I want to combine those two ingredients together because in the oil, they are meant to serve a similar purpose. Both the cinnamon and the calamus. When I also checked my Bible dictionary, I said, what are they? I discovered that they are parts of plants that function for sweetening. Just put them inside anything that is bitter and taste it after. You begin to discover that it has become so sweet. Now, there is sweetness in anointing. Anointing of the Holy Spirit takes away bitterness from the life of a man. That is the second blessedness of the anointing. It takes away what? Bitterness. I don't know what is making you bitter. I don't know something that each time you remember it, you drop in tears. I don't know something about you that whatever you are doing, the moment it shows up in your thinking or in your heart, you lose your joy. Whatever is that source of bitterness, the oil of grace will go there and shall uproot it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I don't know what causes you to be bitter. I was with a particular family in Warri many years ago, very many years ago. We had a revival in a particular Baptist church. And in the course, the church pastor said, sir, my brother, he said, one of my members, who is the chairman of Evangelical Board, would like to host you for a lunch. I said, pastor, if you'll approve of that, then we'll go together. The pastor is an elderly man, so he went with us. No, he didn't go. He said he won't be able to go, but one, two people can follow us. When we got there, the way we saw the man in church was different from what we saw when we got to his house. He was living in more or less a palace. And I said, please wait. Tell me about this man. He said, he's the richest man in our church, but one of the most humble. He said, very dedicated, very committed, and he loves the Lord. He said, look, if we spent 100 million to build the church, he alone dropped close to 150 million, but you cannot know. I said, I can see. Big house, many things. But you see, when we got in there, they prepared all manner of dishes. We finished eating. We wanted to pray. I looked around. I was searching my heart for prayer points. The man is blessed. I could see the children. I could see the wife. I could see cars. I was just happy. Everybody was happy. And I said, okay, daddy, before we pray, do you have any special prayer point? He said, oh, mommy will tell you. I said, okay, mommy. Mommy said, no, daddy, you should be the one to say it. I said, mommy, you say it now. By the time I looked back at daddy, he was already in tears.
Then I became afraid. What could have cost a whole ballet to start shedding tears? I looked around again. I said, Lord, I'm sure this is not the rented apartment. I became very curious and interested. Look, you see some people in church, you meet them on the road, you never can tell what makes them bitter. Some people pocket their bitterness, but each time they remember, my friend, it moves them to tears. It's like, God, we have been praying. Aren't you there anymore? Bible makes us to know, Proverbs says, a delayed expectation wearies the soul. This man waited, he prayed. I said, Daddy, stop shedding tears. What is the problem about? And he said, he called his children. He said, what class are you? That one said, so. This one, had three children. He said, look at them. I have enrolled them in best of schools around. He said, but the older they grow, the duller they become. I said, this one has about 2-3 English language teacher. This one has about 2-3 mathematics teacher. I said, Pastor, please, I will take your time. Follow me. He took me to their study. My friend, beautiful. He said, what else am I going to do for them? He said, what is the meaning of all the wealth that I acquire if my children have no future in academics? He said, sir, I have spent money, we have fasted, we have prayed, we have done this and that. It's becoming worse. Now they have said they no longer want to go to school. The children were crying, daddy was crying, mommy was crying. I didn't know what to do. And I had a voice in my head. He said, tell them, the bitterness you see today, you will see them no more. And I said, by the word of the Lord, this is what the Lord says. I don't know how long this has been there. I don't need to know. All I need to know is the voice of the Lord. And I had a voice in my spirit that today, an end has come. You will no longer weep over this matter. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord God of heaven and earth at the voice of his prophets. And he exactly dealt. We didn't do any deliverance. We didn't do anything because I didn't even know what to say. Just say, Jesus, attend to their problems. Daddy, pray for your children. Mommy, pray for your children. And we said amen to the prayers together. Invariably, they were the ones who prayed, not me. And we left. Jehovah is alive. The other time I was going to put that court, I decided to stop over with the pastor. And the pastor said, I have a surprise for you. I said, Daddy, what surprise? He now drove me to the house of the couple. I didn't want to go there. Because there was no communication. I didn't know if it had happened. There are times the best of us behave like kids. Look, there are times, even as pastors, our faith becomes shaken. That time, God no longer answers according to our faith, but according to his mercies. There are times when God does not answer prayer according to our faith, but according to what? His mercies. And the man burst into another tears. I said, Daddy, what again? And the children began to explain how things turned around for them massively. We couldn't just believe it. Now, I just said it to tell you that even the big people out there, they have their bitterness hidden somewhere. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what may be the source of your bitter experience or something that gets you bitter, worried, and disturbed. In these 3 days, within these 3 days, God will not only deal with the bitterness, he will deal with the root. Talk, say amen. Now, he will deal with the root. How do I know he will deal with the root? The Bible tells me, anytime God wants to uproot a wicked experience, a bad experience, he goes to the root. Let me even remind you, when Jesus was traveling on the sea and there was this terrible storm almost submerging the ship, the Bible said Jesus rose. He didn't speak to the wind, he spoke to the sea. He spoke to it and there was total calmness. By reason of the anointing of the Holy Spirit within these 3 days, your bitterness will be over. Is it a marital delay? Is it childbearing problem? Is any of your children giving you trouble? Is there a sickness in any part of your body? Is your business nosediving? There is a God in heaven. who is aware of this meeting, by the Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the mercy we have received in the course of this program, the bitterness will terminate. In the mighty name of Jesus. Anointing takes away bitter experiences. Let me talk about number three. Just two more before we pray. Verse number 24. And of Kashiah, 500 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. I checked again in that Bible dictionary and it said, cassia is a part of a plant that has medicinal value. There is healing in the anointing. They say it has. You see this God, look at all these ingredients. He prepared everything. Everything. Was telling Moses, put this one there. Put this one there. He didn't give him details. He knew the purpose those things were supposed to serve. He said, put this one there. Put this one there. This cassia, put it there. In so quantity that is to produce healing. Whether it's healing of the brain, some of us will suffer from terrible situation where you read at your best. You're a very good student but poor candidate. You understand when you are reading, write exam, everything has evaporated. It's a trouble. Some of us are suffering from psychological sicknesses. Not all the sicknesses are biological. No. If there is any sickness that can terminate your life, by the grace of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they will fizzle out of your life. Let somebody say, there is healing in the anointing. Or I say, I receive my healing in the name of Jesus Christ. If there is any sickness waiting to manifest, or the one that is already manifesting, my sister, my daughter, with whom is here, she'll be able to bear me witness. Some things happened during anointing service in the fellowship a couple of years ago. I was shocked. We finished the anointing service, and I just saw a lady, and she was helping herself to the little oil that dropped on the floor. And I called people, say, go call that girl. Oh, fear, she was just putting her hand and scrubbing her legs. I said, call that girl for me. I said, lady, what happened? And she said, daddy, I have a problem. I came here because of it. He said, my skin is becoming leprous. And she pulled up her skirts. I thought she liked long skirts. I didn't know that she was covering her skin. Everything had built up. And the toes everywhere. He said, wow, this is horrible. He said, but as the anointing service was ongoing, he said, something occurred to me that if I could just touch a drop here by faith and use it to cream my leg. I said, but this won't be sufficient. He said, daddy, it is. And I said, okay, do you mind? Take the remaining. And she took it and she left. I said, come back, let's pray. Father, your daughter believes you could do it. Please help her faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. She left. She believed in her heart. Daddy, a couple of days after that, that same guy came and introduced herself to my wife. I said, oh, you're the one doing it? He said, yes. And she said, daddy, look at this. Mommy, look at this. It just happened as I believed it. A faith made her whole. A faith made her whole. Another lady came, same meeting. That one said, daddy, I was supposed to travel home for his surgery, and I needed to pray with me. My sister had come to pick me from Ibadan. I needed to pray with me for the surgery to be successful. I said, fine. And she came. So before I went to preach, we held our hands, we prayed, Father, let this surgery be successful. Let there be no complications. It never occurred to me to pray that God should take away the tumor. A tumor was growing on her leg, so she was limping. She couldn't walk. And the tumor was just growing and becoming big. When they said how many hundreds of thousands they were going to spend to remove it, I said, oh, God. So I prayed for a successful operation. But after the anointing service, he said something occurred to her. She went to the altar and said, Lord, I don't want surgery. Let your anointing take this away. The man of God had just preached that the anointing, by anointing, yoke shall be destroyed. This is a yoke, Father. You didn't put it there. She said she prayed in tears. I have witnesses in the house. The lady woke up and did not meet the tumor. She screamed and shouted that it arose everyone in the hostel. And I remember I didn't pray for her. The only prayer I prayed was for the surgery. But you see, there are times God bypasses us to do what he wants to do. It never occurred to me. It was the lady's faith that the Lord saw from heaven. So, I'm not a powerful healer because I didn't even pray. The miracle had nothing to do with me. I didn't mention any word of healing, divine healing in my prayer. But God bypassed that and healed his daughter. So when a man is truly anointed, you don't form alliance with sickness. Anointing expels it. Anointing that takes away sickness from the anatomy, the chemistry, and the physiology of a man's body within these 3 days shall rest mightily upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. And finally, that same verse. And of oil, olive, and hin. That's why it stops. Olive oil. God said, all of this, now you're going to get olive oil and pour these things inside. I don't need to check the dictionary. I know it from my local wisdom that when a particular padlock or iron or metal door is stiff and you apply the oil, what happens to it? It takes away stress from opening it. It opens effortlessly. Anointing takes away stress from the life of a man. What an anointed man will do with ace. A man that is not anointed will spend several years struggling to doing it. Struggling to do it. Fighting to do it. But there is an anointing that takes away stress and says, son, I will do it. Daughter, I'm going to do it. That is anointing that takes away stress from the life of a man. I don't know what is stressing you up. It may be debt. I don't know what is stressing you up. There's an anointing that makes things work with ease for people. And that is what we have gathered to receive within these 3 days. I'd like you to stand with me as we go to the Lord in prayer for just 2-3 minutes. And we will come back. I've taken time to lay this foundation because from tomorrow, it shall be more of prayer ministrations. And I want to speak to your life as I speak to mine, that the anointing that takes away stress from the life of a man shall rest upon your lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Don't forget where we stopped. Anointing helps a man to make definite impacts in difficult places, wherever you go. If you're truly anointed, you make impact everywhere. What others couldn't do, you'll achieve it because you carry anointing for it. Anointed for it. Number two, anointing takes away bitterness from a man, from the life of a person. It goes to the root of the bitterness and deal with it. Number three, there is healing in the anointing. There is healing in the anointing. And number four, anointing takes away stress from the life of a man. Some people, whatever they want to do in life is stress. Nothing about them happens with ease. But when the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon your life today, it takes away the stress. Lift your right hand to the Lord. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit to make definite impact in my family, and everywhere I find myself, in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen to your prayer? Amen. Say after me, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit that takes away bitterness from the life of a man, in the mighty name of Jesus. From tonight, I will begin to experience the sweetness in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Can you say loud, amen? Amen? Number three, say after me, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit to uproot sickness and infirmity from my life in the name of Jesus. Say three powerful amen.
Amen.
And finally say after me, say Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit that takes away stress from the life of a man. Let your anointing take my stress away. Let your anointing take my sickness away. Let your anointing take my bitterness away. Let your anointing help me, O God, to make great impact in life. In the name of Jesus. Everybody lift your voice and pray like that. Just pray like that. Lift your voice and pray. Let your anointing help me to make definite impact in life. In the name of Jesus. It is our season of fresh anointing again in this Southern land. And the Lord is beginning to look for people upon whom he will pour anointing and power. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, I key into this arrangement. I receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit to make definite impact on the sand of time. In the name of Jesus. In my family, in my church, in my ministry, in my business. Pray, 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 pray. I receive that anointing of the Holy Spirit to make definite impact, to terminate every form of bitterness in the name of Jesus. To uproot bitterness from my life, from my family, in the name of Jesus. I receive that anointing. I receive it. Anointing to terminate sickness and infirmity. Either sicknesses that are manifesting or the ones that are waiting to manifest. I receive the anointing to terminate them in the name of Jesus. Somebody pray. Receive anointing that takes away stress from the life of a man. Enough of stress. Lord, I'm getting old. Enough of stress. I receive anointing that takes away stress from the life of a man in the name of Jesus. Job, we come without stress. Visa, we come without stress. Sponsorship, we come without stress. Marriage will happen without stress. Admissions will happen without stress. Scholarship will happen without stress. Someone pray like that. From tonight, things will begin to happen in my life without stress. In the name of Jesus. Let the oil of grace take away stress from my life. Oil of grace take away stress from my life. In the name of Jesus. Oh, I hope you know what you are asking for. Oh my God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. The Bible calls Jesus Christ. He calls him Christ. And Christ means the anointed of God. Receiving anointing, you receive in Jesus Christ. He's the anointing personified. And someone is saying, Lord, anoint me, but you've not given your life to Jesus. Or you claim to have given your life to Jesus, you are still walking after the dictates of the flesh. My brothers and my sisters, God will not pour his anointing on dirty vessels. He said in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9, he said, because you love righteousness and you hate iniquity, that's why the Lord your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. To receive the oil, righteousness is an impeccable requirement. And none of us is righteous. It's the righteousness of Christ that dwells in us. I ask you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you have not given your life to Jesus and you're there, place your right hand on your chest and just commit your life to Jesus. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Take my burden of sins away. I want to live the rest of my life serving you. And I want to make heaven in the end. Take away sin from my life. I've been struggling with sin. Lord, take it away from my life. Give me power and victory over sin in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Can we lift our two hands to the Lord, everyone? Father, thank you. Tonight, you have been able to show us the blessedness in the anointing. Lord, we pray that each and all of this will begin to manifest in our lives from now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God of heaven and earth, that each and all of us will find fulfillment in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. So much that it will show that we are truly and genuinely anointed with fresh oil in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, our minds are made up to key into supernatural release of your anointing. these 3 days. Father, let there be an overflow of it in the mighty name of Jesus. Let there be overflow of it in the name of Jesus. Lord, that which has become difficult and impossible for us to do is never difficult for the anointing to accomplish. We pray, oh God, that such heavy anointing will be poured upon our lives in the name of Jesus. And your name alone shall be glorified. Father, thank you for answered prayers. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Please put your hands together and celebrate our Lord Jesus.